You are now tuned in to Go Time Dolphins with Charlie Touche and Kadeem Simmons, the Miami Dolphins podcast that's for the fans and by the fans.
Gotta make them lose their mind when it's your time. And it's your time. Going all out when it's go time. Go, go. I ain't wasting no time. Gotta make them lose their mind when it's your time. Cause it's your time. Lay it on the line when it's go time. Go, go. Don't waste no time.
I literally had my mind went blank, didn't even know how to introduce the episode or start talking. My mind just like when Charlie's not here, you can see everything goes completely off the grid, off the road. My mind hasn't started working yet. I apologize. Welcome back everyone to another episode of Go Time Dolphins. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcast, wherever you get your podcast from, you will notice I'm not going to introduce Charlie. If you're watching on YouTube, then you will see that is not Charlie. As we gear up to the NFL draft, we'll be getting more and more guests on to give their takes on the offensive line class, just what the Dolphins can do in general. So, yes, we are, I guess, reintroducing a returning affiliate of GTD, Mr. Owain Jones. How are you?
Yeah, all good. Thank you very much. Yeah, good to be back. And we've been planning this for a while, haven't we? So it's good to finally get on. It's not too long to the draft now, so every take matters.
Yeah, I was just apologising off air, basically saying planning a wedding and myself and Charlie's horrible recording schedule makes it very difficult to get UK guests on. But thank you for being patient. Thank you for joining us. I guess before we get into anything, why am I mind gone blank on the intro? What is the intro? So this is what I need, Charlie. Got it. It's Go Time Dolphins, the Miami Dolphin podcast that goes not only across the pond, but across the world. I am Kadeem Simmons. I am not with Charlie Touche. I'm with Owain Jones. It's always for the fans and by the fans. Your favorite podcast. Favorite podcast. They nailed it. Brilliant. Also, before we delve into draft talk, how are you feeling after back-to-back rectum promotions?
Very, very good. I've in between had a son who's 10 months old now, so he is officially a glory hunter, seeing a promotion in his first year being born. I think the promotion from League 2 was kind of expected because of the teams that are in that. There's another step up now into League 1. Over the moon.
Yeah, it's, I can imagine for you right now, you're in your element with, you know, draft tape, all that kind of stuff, mock drafts, and then Wrexham in League 2 having an amazing season up to League 1. But yeah, the NFL draft, what do you make of this draft class overall?
Overall, I think it is extremely strong at the top. And then for reasons that within college football, it does tail off into Day 3. So I think we're kind of seeing the repercussions of COVID years and NIL, where players are deciding to go back to school. So they're in, say, their fifth year of college. There's a little bit of money on the table. They know they're going to be a late round draft pick, so we'll just go back to school for a year instead of coming out. So it does tail off, and that shows in the numbers of underclassmen declaring for the draft. That is extremely low compared to other years. Now, to caveat that will bounce back next year. You're going to see a huge draft class because all those players who had COVID eligibility hadn't got an extra year to go back to college for a sixth year. So it's going to be massive next year. But that means that I think if you are a team that has a lot of early picks, that's going to benefit you rather than late picks, because the late picks are not going to be as good as they are in normal years. But it is a great year to have a high pick because there's a lot of blue chip prospects on the board. There's going to be a lot of really good players go on day two of the draft who could quite easily go in the first round of other years. I think it's a really, really strong class, probably similar to what year was it? The year that you guys took Jalen Waddle, the Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson draft. Was it 21? Probably similar in terms of the blue chip elite talent that's on the board.
It's interesting you say that, because the Dolphins, they kind of have no middle picks. They've got obviously pick 21 in the first round, pick 55 in the second, and then it's like two fifths or sixth in the seventh.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to talk about kind of trades later on, but the growing consensus, but so many Miami Dolphins fans, be it on YouTube, Twitter Spaces, or on social media in general, their belief is that the Dolphins should trade back at 21, pick up an extra third or fourth, and kind of go from there. What do you make of that? I want to say draft after or later.
Yeah.
Could the Dolphins get a, blue chip player, difference maker from day one at pick 21, or is that essentially dependent on the position and what the Dolphins need?
Yeah, so you'll get one. There's no doubt that there'll be a blue chip player available at 21, just because of how the board will fall in terms of quarterbacks going off the board. That's just going to push some players down. There's going to be one there. It's just a matter of filling need with value, and that's why this draft is so interesting to me. It's not only for the Dolphins, but for there's so many teams stacked together who have very similar needs in terms of, even if you look at 11, 12, 13. Which is the Vikings, the Raiders, and the Broncos. They all could potentially be in the market for quarterback. They could be in the market for corners. And then further down, that just has repercussions. And then you look moving further down to where the Dolphins are sitting at 21. You've got potentially Seattle, Pittsburgh, maybe even the Rams, who are all kind of similar needs in terms of, could we take an offensive lineman? Could we even take a defensive lineman, which I do think comes into the discussion. Although I think I'm on, from seeing some of the videos which you've posted, I think I'm on board with the offensive lineman pick. I think that should be the selection, but I wouldn't rule defensive line out of it completely. So I think there will be a player there, but where value falls is maybe different. So if there's a really good tackle there that falls, then I can see that being the pick. If maybe they go a bit earlier, then I also don't mind the trade out option either, because you might be able to pick up an extra, fill it definitely a third. You might even be able to get a second, depending on who's coming up. If someone comes out from round two up, then you might get that second from them to trade back. And the interior of the offensive line, the class is really good, especially at guard. So I think you'll be able to do that, and you'll get an impact starter by doing that as well. If you're drafting early to middle of the second round, then you're going to get someone like Christian Haynes from UConn, who's going to slot straight in and start right away, and would probably be a first rounder in some of the years.
I'm sure you've seen it. The consensus, I keep saying the word consensus, the overwhelming favorite for Dolphins fans to draft at 21 is Oregon center / guard Jackson Power-Johnson. Now, he come up a few times on the podcast, especially as the last few weeks or so, he's kind of falling out of the first round in a lot of mocks, and a lot of draft experts saying that actually this could be a day two pick due to injuries, due to what, 1 year as a starter at center, despite the fact he's probably the best center in college football last year.
Yep.
What do you make of his chances of essentially being there at 21? And then if he is, could the Dolphins not only move back, but maybe move up from 55? Would he even make it to 55?
No, I don't think he'll make it to 55. Exclusively here, I submitted my last mock draft over on PFN yesterday, and it has Jackson Powers-Johnson in the second round and at the top of the second round as well. What team? It might have been Carolina at 39 he ended up going to, if I remember rightly. There's so many picks. There's a three rounders, so you just lose track of where everyone ends up going. But he fell out the first round, and it's not because of talent, because I think he probably would be in the top 32 players in this draft. But it comes down to value and positions like tackle, corner, wide receiver in this class as well. Defensive tackle is increasingly becoming a premium position in the NFL. It means that the interior offensive line does end up falling out, because it's the easy decision to make, if that makes sense. Because you go, well, it's easy to just slot a tackle there. And I think because of the depth of the class, teams might just think, we're going to be able to get a good one. So say you don't go Jackson Powers Johnson at 21, and I think he's good enough to go 21. I think there's absolutely no problem with that. I think you might be able to get someone like Zach Frazier if you're looking at center. Do you prefer center rather than guard?
So that's the interesting thing with the Dolphins. It's obviously they lost Connor Williams to injury, and then obviously free agent, so he hasn't come back. They pick up Aaron Brewer from the Titans in free agency.
Yeah, that's it, and
he looks like he's going to be the center. But again, he's someone who's played guard previously, and there's this belief that essentially you bring in even a Graham Barton. Like, it's like you bring in either Graham Barton or Jackson Power Johnson at 21 or, you know, 25, you move back. That like, no one's really going to know who's going to play center or guard. You can have Brewer at guard. You can have... So, and I think especially when the Dolphins brought in Connor Williams in free agency, who was like one of the best left guards in football, and then moved into center, everyone was like, why would you do this for? So the Dolphins definitely had previous of, you know, moving or shifting someone to a whole new position on the offensive line. So center, guard, I don't think it really matters. I think it's just about bolstering the interior offensive line, because at the moment it's the returning Isaiah Wynn, who got injured last year, the newly acquired Aaron Brewer, and then it's like right guard is maybe Liam. No, because Robert Hunt's obviously gone to Carolina.
Oh, right. Okay. Still showing on the depth chart, but yeah.
I would love him to still be here. But no, I think it's, yes, probably Liam Eichenberg or like that's kind of it, you know. So yeah, center guard, I don't think it matters either way, to be fair.
Yeah, you're right. I would much prefer Graham Barton than Jackson Powers Johnson, both I prefer him as a prospect, but given the circumstances, I prefer that as well, because he allows you to get the best five players on the offensive line playing, because he has true positional versatility. Now, Jackson Powers Johnson has played some guard, but I think he's almost exclusively going to be a centre at the NFL, because there's no reason to change what he's been doing so well, whereas Graham Barton was playing left tackle for Duke for a couple of seasons, but will be an interior player. He can play centre, he could play either guard spots, and I wouldn't have any worries at all. So I think it makes complete sense to slot Graham Barton in there, and then we can just figure a way of getting the best five players on the field, because he can just take one of the interior spots.
If the Dolphins don't go interior offensive line and do end up going tackle, realistically, what kind of tackles are we looking at? And that's always such a difficult question, because you just don't know how other teams, you know, kind of look at it. Me and Charlie done a mock draft, and we traded back from 21, I think, to 27, I think it was. Okay. Let me double check this.
That would be with the Cardinals.
I'm pretty sure it was the Cardinals. Yeah, traded back to pick 27 and picked up Troy Fatanu at 27. Now, again, it's a mock draft.
Yeah, he's one of them.
Yeah, exactly. we also picked up Zach Frazier at pick 55, which, again, that's not going to happen. But realistically, that, let's say, if the Dolphins wanted to move up to maybe 18 or trade back to 28, what kind of tackles should they be expecting to still be there?
Yeah, so if you traded up to somewhere in the teens, you may not have your pick of who. It may just be who's left, you're not going to be getting the first or the second off the board. You could have seen four go off the board already by that point if you're talking about 18. If you trade back, I think the class does fall off considerably. So I think if we need a tackle, then staying at 21 or moving up would be the play. At 27 or even further back, you're kind of looking at guys like Kingsley Suamataya from BYU, Jordan Morgan from Arizona, who I prefer more of an interior player, but could play tackle. So there are names there, but nothing really that's going to get you overly excited. Whereas if you're able to get someone like Amarius Mims from Georgia or JC Latham from Alabama, Olufoshanu from Penn State. If somehow you can manage to find a way to get one of these guys, then I think that would be a brilliant selection, because I think tackle, even though it looks set, Austin Jackson, Terrion Armstead as well, that, you know, Armstead hasn't ever played a 17-game season, only played 10 games last season, didn't he? So, and there's mulled retirement reportedly. So I think it seems like a perennial discussion, doesn't it? Offensive line. And the Dolphins just need to do something about it. And I think tackle, especially if you can get one that can play guard and then kick out to tackle if something happens, would be a really good play. JC Latham has that ability. I'm tending to think at this moment that he may go earlier than we maybe expect. And has played exclusively right tackle at Alabama. But I think he probably could play left tackle and could start in the interior and kick out if need be. So I like that play for the Dolphins. But yeah, I think it's a really tough spot to be in 21, because a lot of these guys will have already gone. And it's just a matter of who's left. Tyler Guyton would be the one that I think, if you stick at 21, could be left. Now, I'm not a huge Tyler Guyton fan. He's definitely a project. He's extremely raw. He's inexperienced as well. Played right tackle mostly. He's a very good athlete, but still needs to be more polished and refined. And maybe bringing him in and sitting him for a little bit before stepping in would be a good way of acclimatizing him to the league. So I don't mind that, but that's kind of at that point. I think that would be forcing it. Although I think the NFL probably like him.
I think with someone like Tyler Guyton, you're right. It's the Dolphins are going to play at least two guys that left tackle this year, Tyron Armstead and whoever replaced him due to injury. Like, that's just an absolute fact.
Yeah.
So if you can get maybe a month out to Tyron Armstead before he goes down with whatever injury he's going to get, then maybe someone like Tyler Guyton can use that month to kind of develop. But I also kind of feel like the Dolphins don't have that time to bring in a development player. I think they need to try and find someone in that first round who can not only start day one, but make a significant impact. You don't want to spend training camp kind of like, not so much refining his traits and stuff like that, but going, well, hey, you know, let's do this, this, and this. And I just kind of feel that, yeah, it's too big. And it's, especially if you're going to have him play guard and then tackle, I just kind of feel like that's just not going to work. It's not like the Dolphins have, you know, four stellar offensive linemen. You can kind of get away with that. Tyler Guyton might be someone who, you know, if they retain Robert Hunt and Connor Williams, and he goes, you know what, we can do this because we have a bit more flexibility. But no, that's not something I would be really willing to do.
No, I totally agree, especially with Tyler Guyton, who is, he will be a right tackle. I'm not in favour of it either, but that's just what could end up being left. And that's the sticky situation that the Dolphins are in, picking at 21. And then not really having a great deal of capital this draft to use to move up. Because teams are going to want those day one, day two picks to utilize because of how the talent falls off. You know, the sixth rounders aren't going to get you anything in terms of value, in terms of using them to move up. And you probably want to keep hold of that second, right? And then there's not an awful lot to use. So you're then dipping into next year's capital, and you're robbing Peter to pay Paul at the end of the day, aren't you? That's what ends up happening. That's what makes the NFL draft so intriguing. That's why I love the draft, is because you can endlessly discuss these things. There's not necessarily ever a right answer. It's the discussion that I really like, that we can all have opinions on these players, and then working out the scenarios I find really intriguing. But yeah, it's not inevitable. You have to find a way to get up. But looking at, I think, Alt, Fashanu, Mims, Fitanu, Fuaga, probably Latham, are all probably gone by 21 because they are that good. And that's a problem.
So in this scenario, there's literally no tackle left on the board.
Yep.
Interior offensive line, you're going to leave until round two, because let's be honest, you can probably get someone, you know,
yep.
out of a decent level. The Dolphins obviously lost Christian Wilkins in free agency to the Raiders.
Yeah.
Jalen Phillips might legitimately be okay by the time the season starts. I
would be impressed with you.
But so the Dolphins did want to, you know, bolster the trenches, but on the defensive line instead.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're open to both edge rusher and defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Again, what kind of guys are we looking at the 21 range? And again, if the quarterbacks go, the wide receivers go, and the tackles go,
yeah,
could the Dolphins actually be able to trade back and still get a genuine, you know, day one starter at defensive end, again, around the 25 to 28 range?
Yeah, so I don't think so in terms of edge. So the top three, which is Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, and the Atulatu, are three exceptional prospects who I think are worthy of going top 15 in this draft. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if one of them is there at 21. And if they are, then that would be a home run pick because they are that good. By trading back, you're then dropping into the territory of potentially Chop Robinson, Dyrus Robinson. And then there's another tier again that it drops down. So the edge rusher class does drop off considerably after the top three. The other two that I can see going in round one would be the two Robinsons, Chop and Dyrus. In round two, you might be able to get someone like Jonah Ellis, Adisa Isaac, Chris Braswell, but they're not to the caliber of the top three. So I think if we're thinking starter at edge, then who is an elite player, I would be looking at Turner versus Olatu if one of them is there. And I think that would be absolutely fine. In terms of the interior, the only two really that you would be considering in round one would be Jazan or Johnny Newton, goes by both names, from Illinois, and Byron Murphy from Texas. There seems to be a lot of buzz at the moment that Byron Murphy could go really early in terms of he could even go to the Bears at nine. It's a bit rich for my money. Jazan Newton is much the better player for me in terms of the evaluation. I think Jazan Newton is one of the best defensive prospects in this draft, up there with Cooper DeJean, who I really like. I think he will end up being there, just reading the tea leaves of what the NFL seems to be doing and insiders in terms of mock drafts and their rankings and things like that. I think Jazan Newton would be there. I think that would be a brilliant pick. I think Byron Murphy potentially could be gone. And I do prefer Newton, but I think Murphy would be a perfectly acceptable pick as well. I just prefer the value of either edge or the offensive line, because I think especially I much prefer the combination of like Graham Barton at 21 and then someone like Ruka Roro from Clemson at 55 or Braden Fisk from Florida State, Chris Jenkins from Michigan, Michael Hall from Ohio State would be great in your scheme. There's a cluster of players who are going to be really good round two players at defensive tackle, which I can think could fill the gap. I think this draft does have to be addressed, the trenches draft. I think you're right, it has to be on both sides. So whichever way you make it, you know, you want to take it. If you think, right, we really like Byron Murphy, we'll take Byron Murphy, that's fine. And then we can just go with interior at 55. Say there will be some players left and there'll be impact players as well, like Christian Mahogany, who I think probably would be able to get in round three. I know you don't have a round three pick, but he's really like a mauler of a guard. Christian Haynes, I like, probably ranked in the 30s, would be a great pickup if he's there. Cooper Beebe is a serviceable starter. So you can get serviceable starters for both positions. So really it's going to come down to how the board falls. If one of the premium edges or one of the premium tackles are there, then I think you just take them. And if not, it's just a matter of how the Dolphins rank these guys in terms of, if we fall in love with Graham Barton, that's fine, we can do that. And then we can go interior defensive line at 55. In terms of edges, say it does fall off. You're probably looking at someone like Chris Braswell or Adisa Isaac, who are both good players and I think will be starters in their rookie years, but they definitely don't have the upside of the top three.
No, that's really, really interesting to hear. Damn, Richard Dolphins had a third or even a fourth.
Yeah, almost in terms of draft, you can sometimes get blindsided by the first rounds, and I think sometimes it's useful to think of things in clusters in terms of take those two picks together and what scenario do you prefer? Do you prefer the tackle that's there at 21 or the edge, and then what do you get later on, and pair the two picks together and how which way round does that look better? And if the tackles aren't there, then I would go edge and then guard later on, because I think you're going to get two really good impact starters. This decision all comes down to whether those six premium tackles are there or not.
It's really, really interesting. Before we head into bonus time and talk about potential sleepers, obviously, make sure you subscribe to Go Time Dolphins on all the social medias, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the good stuff. If you're not following Orion already, I don't know what you've been doing for the past few years. One of the great guys on not just the draft, but football as well, and had his own podcast. What podcast are you on, Orion?
Yeah, so it's the 99 Yards Network. It's if you're on YouTube, it's NFL Draft Talk. If you search that other page will come up. Or if you search 99 Yards on Twitter, you'll be able to find the link that way as well. Or if you just search 99 Yards in your podcasts, then you'll find us there as well.
I was listening to your most recent podcast, kind of based around, was talking about trades. And obviously, a team like the Vikings and the Cardinals have so much draft capital that they can really dictate who goes where in terms of moving up and moving down and stuff like that. And I don't think I missed it. You didn't mention the Dolphins as potential trade. No. Why is that? Is that simply because they don't have the capital to do much, or even if they do make a trade, it's not going to make that much of a difference?
Yeah, it wasn't purposefully missing the Dolphins. We dictated the teams that we've spoken about in clusters, basically, because going through all 32 teams, we would have been there forever and would have absolutely lost our minds. I already was towards the end of it because there's so many scenarios playing out in your head. The Dolphins weren't discussed. We in that cluster, we started talking about what the Bengals could do and then the knock-on effect that could have on 19, 20, 21, 22. The capital is a problem in terms of moving up. It's a potential spot to move down, absolutely. I don't mind that at all. I think that's perfectly acceptable depending on how the board falls. I do think getting up is going to be tough though, because even if you want to and have the capital, there's potentially going to be a team who can throw something else in because they have some more who can just go, oh, you've got this deal agreed with the Dolphins. Well, we'll just throw this little sweetener in. Maybe it's a fourth or a fifth, and the Dolphins are just stuck not having that luxury.
It's so the Dolphins, as you know, Dolphin fans know, they have obviously the third round pick next year. They guaranteed two other third round picks as comp picks, which really aren't that much, you know.
Yeah.
But it's options for at the very least if you want to package those up to move into the third and then use a third to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But can you see you spoke about trading back. Is there and obviously, you know, you aren't speaking to teams and stuff like that, but is there a realistic scenario in which the Dolphins could find a willing buyer at the back end of the first round? So the trade we did with the Cardinals on this mock was pick 21 for pick 27, pick 71, and then a fifth round in next year. Can you kind of see any teams wanting to move up to essentially 21? Obviously, it would depend on how the board falls, just as a quarterback there, all that kind of stuff. But what kind of trade options could the Dolphins be looking at?
Depending on how the board falls, then there will be suitors. And this is where what's really interesting is what we went through on the trade package episode that we recorded, was because there's so much. You think about who would want to trade up and into that spot and for what. It's potentially what the Dolphins might want, right? It could be, oh, one of the tackles is available, we want to move up for them. But the Dolphins entertain that, and the same for the edges. The one that makes a lot of sense is if one of the receivers are there, maybe Brian Thomas Jr. falls. The Bills might want to, but there's absolutely no way you're trading within division. It just will not happen. So maybe the Ravens as a sneaky team, because they've been decimated on the offensive line. They need serious help there, really. But again, you're talking about trading with the Dolphins, who also need some help on the offensive line. But they also need a receiver as well. So maybe they offer something really nice, knowing that you're going to go up and get one of the receivers. I think Brian Thomas Jr. will have been gone by that point, but I think A.D. Mitchell will get get a lot of love in this range. So I could see a team wanting to move up for him, or potentially, knowing what's behind. It's not a scenario I've thought about before. Literally just came to me there when I was talking. Maybe someone wants to jump the Eagles for a corner. Maybe Cooper DeJean's there, Terrion Arnold is there, and they want the choice, knowing that the Eagles will be contemplating taking a corner. So that could be an interesting scenario. Maybe that is the Cardinals, you're right. In terms of back, maybe the 49ers want to do something. I think they're probably happy waiting because they need offensive line help. Every team needs offensive line help in this draft. There will be suitors if someone's there. There's no doubt about it. There'll be an opportunity to trade back because of the teams that are there. It's just interesting that behind, even you've got teams like the Cowboys who need offensive line help. There's this the teams are queuing up for offensive line help, knowing that the likelihood is that the elite tackles will be gone.
Definitely an interesting one. And once again, Owen, thank you for joining us. You staying for bonus time?
Course.
Brilliant. If you haven't already, comment on this video to enter the NFL Draft Hack giveaway. All you have to do is comment draft and be subscribed to the channel. That is it. If you are a Patreon member, then you are already entered into the draft. If you are listening on, I guess, any audio platform, leave a 5-star review. Again, comment draft would be greatly appreciated. If you sent me a screenshot of that 5-star review, email to me that at gotimedolphins@gmail.com. But I am Kadeem Simmons. I'm joined by Orion Jones. Thank you for tuning in this time. Oh, I forgot to stay positive, says negative. Oh, dude, my mind is all over the place. But yeah, thank you for joining in this time. Make sure you catch us next time on Go Time. Already. Gotta make them lose their mind when it's your time. And it's your time. Going all out when it's go time. I ain't wasting no time. Gotta make them lose their mind when it's your time. Cause it's your time. Lay it on the line when it's go time. Go, go, don't waste no time. Gotta make them lose their mind when it's your time. And it's your time. Going all out when it's go time. Go, go, I ain't wasting no time. So, it's always a case of, you know, you want to hit your first and second round draft picks and all the good stuff and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But sleepers, that's where, you know, you can really make or break your draft class. If you can find a sleeper in the, you know, on day three, who turned out to be, you know, where did the Rams take?
Yeah, he went in the fifth, didn't he, Puka?
Yeah, like if you can find someone like that, yeah, you know, it's game changing. So what kind of, who are some of the sleeper, not just for the Dolphins, but for the, you know, NFL draft in general, what kind of sleepers do you kind of have your eye on?
Yeah, we were sent a message in one of the videos that we've done with someone asking who's going to be the next Puka Nacua. If I knew that, he's not going to be going in the fifth round. If we knew Puka Nacua was going to be Puka Nacua, he wasn't going to be taken in the fifth round. It's a difficult one to work out. Look, the draft does tail off, but I think receiver and running back are the two where you're going to get decent value in round five, potentially even in round six, depending on the schemes that you're in, right? You're not going to get a perfect player in round six, but thinking, look, this guy's a speedy receiver, or this guy's a rack threat or a yak threat, you're going to get someone who suits that skill set that you're looking to insert into the room. So I think there's a bunch of names at wide receiver who you could get go late. One that I'd be looking at is, and you're going to see his name go high, is Jermaine Burton from Alabama. Now, you're going to see his name probably in round three of mock drafts, but there are reports that there's some real concerns over his mentality, I guess is the best way to put it, and over his character, which could see him slip down the board. But he is a really good receiver. Had eyes on him when he played for Georgia and he transferred to Alabama. So I would not be shocked if he slipped into day three, because he just won't be on some team's boards and then the team will pick him up later on. So he's one that I would maybe watch for slipping down. Jacob Cowan from Arizona is a really good, speedy yak receiver. Still learning the position, really. I think he was a quarterback and then transitioned to receiver. But he is really, really shifty. So I like him as well. I think there's going to be a bunch of running backs go 5-6 as well, who will be able to have immediate starts. Audric Estime from Notre Dame is going extremely underrated. I think he will have an instant impact. He's more of a thumper than a shifty running back, but I really like him. Will Shipley, my draft partner Stu really liked Will Shipley, had him as the running back 4 in this draft. I don't know where he got that from, because he's not going that highly, but if you're looking for a running back who's like a receiving threat really out of the backfield, who's going to be able to be that dynamic receiving threat, then Will Shipley will be really good at that role. What possibly my favorite running back in this class though is Tyrone Tracy from Purdue, who was a receiver and then transferred and started playing running back at Purdue. And he is going extremely underrated, a versatile weapon, because he's had the receiving ability and he's also really good at pass blocking as well. And that's an underrated trait when we come to evaluating running backs jumping into the NFL. If you're going to play all three downs, you need to know how to pass protect. And so when you're looking for impact starters, if you're watching film, if a running back can pass protect, then that's a really good sign that they're going to get on the field early in the NFL. So Tyrone Tracy would be someone that I would be looking at for that, because of the strength as a blocker, but also can get north and south, east and west as well. He can do everything. He's just new to the position, so learning the nuances of it. But running back is one of those positions where it doesn't matter if you're an older prospect, we can just run you into the ground before the second contract and on away you go. And on offense, I would be looking at that. Corner's interesting because there's a lot of good premium talent, but I also think there's going to be some players that go later on who are going to be really good starters as well. Cam Hart from Notre Dame, I really like. I would probably have him in the round 3 range, but I wouldn't be surprised if he maybe drops out as well. And another name at corner potentially would be Kalen King from Penn State, who we do summer scouting every year where we get the initial thoughts on these players who are draft eligible. Many people had him as a potential top 5 corner in this class. He hasn't developed into that, but if someone can get their hands on him and mold him into what he can be, because he's 5'11", 190, has the traits. He just needs to get a little bit more physical, but he can turn into a really good player as well. And just lastly, the linebacker class is really not very good in this. You're not going to see, I would be very shocked if you see a linebacker go in the first round. You might get one go in the top 50. So you're going to get a fair chunk of linebackers going on day 3 who will be expected to have impacts. People probably know the name Jeremiah Trotter because of his dad, but Jeremiah Trotter Jr. from Clemson is a name to watch out for. He's getting a lot of early draft capital love. I don't like him that much, but I think if you can pick him up on round 4 or 5, then I think he can have an impact for you. And further down, there's going to be Jordan Maggi from Temple. Is definitely a sleeper name. Not many will have heard of him. He's going to be a player that I can see having an impact on day one. Really, linebackers, safety isn't a very interesting position either. In terms of this draft, there's not a lot to love early on, which could then force some down the board. So maybe someone like Tyler Owens, who had a really, really good combine from Texas Tech, ends up doing really well and going later on because of it.
Thank you so much for all of that. I hope people are jotting down names. I know I certainly am, and I will definitely I'm in Scotland this weekend, so I'm probably gonna watch some. I'm gonna stag do, but you know, I'll watch some tape, because when you're really drunk and you know have nothing better to do, then why not watch tape? Very, very quick last one from me then.
Yeah.
What do you reckon the, let's go, best position class this draft? Like, if you're really, again, looking for something, where can you find day one starters in the second, even third round, because the class is that strong? Or is there just not one that's that deep?
Yeah, it's receiver. There's no doubt there's receiver. You're going to see, I wouldn't be surprised if you see 30 receivers have impact, because the receiver class is really that good. In terms of premium capital, it would probably be tackle, but then once it drops off after those top six, so if you're talking at who's going to have the impact in round one, it would probably be tackle, because of how strong the top of the class is. But in terms of overall depth, as well as that top end talent, it has to be receiver. There's so many good players at receiver. Music.